This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. While visiting Wisconsin earlier this week, President Joe Biden announced a new plan to cancel some federal student loan debt for more than 30 million borrowers. It's the latest of the administration's ongoing efforts to provide some kind of student debt relief. Here's President Biden during his visit to Madison on Monday.
Today, too many Americans, especially young people, are saddled with unsustainable debts in exchange for a college degree. The ability for working and middle-class folks to repay their student loans has become so burdensome that a lot can't repay it for even decades after being in school. And I mean that sincerely. Many of you know that sitting in front of me. Even when they have worked hard and pay their student loans, their debt increases, not diminishes. Too many people feel the strain and stress, wondering if they're going to can get married, have their first child, start a family, because even if they get by, they still have this crushing, crushing debt.
Some past efforts have been struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. An expert on higher education finance is here now to help us break down the new plans, how likely they are to go into effect, and who might get some kind of relief if they do. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have student loan debt? A significant amount? Are you having trouble paying off your loans? Have you benefited from any of the recent student loan relief efforts from over the last year, like the SAVE plan? What questions do you have about the state of student loans in the U.S.? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nick Hillman is a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison School of Education. He's director of the Student Success Through Applied Research, or STAR Lab. Nick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for the invitation, Rob.
Having a little bit of deja vu, Nick, talking to you about the latest Biden administration plan on student loan debt. Talk us through what this newest proposal would actually do.
Yeah, we talked in the fall about the Biden administration's efforts to cancel student loan debt broadly. And fast forward to this spring, I suppose, and that plan got scuttled by the Supreme Court. So the Biden administration has gone to Plan B. And this new one uses a little bit of a different strategy, different legal strategy, but also has a little bit more targeted beneficiaries in mind. And so that's what this new plan is about. It's a second attempt at this.
Now let's talk, this is a little weedsy here, but the legal strategy, this is important because if the Biden administration does it wrong, it could be struck down in the courts. And you've had to turn into sort of an expert on the legal system on this, Nick. What are they doing differently that makes them think this might pass court muster?
I tried my best, and I'm still learning a lot about the legal angles here. But basically, the first round of this, the Biden administration tried to use the HEROES Act. The HEROES Act was their legal kind of framework, and the Supreme Court said that did not give the U.S. Department of Education authority to cancel debt. And so they said, you can't do it through the HEROES Act. So the Biden administration in this round two effort, is not using the HEROES Act. It's using the Higher Education Act. The Higher Education Act has been around since 1965, and it has some language in there that says that the Department of Education and the Secretary of Education can waive and modify student loan programs. And so I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that, but that's basically the gist of it.
Okay, and now let's get into what this would do, assuming it passes any legal challenges. As you mentioned, these are more targeted types of relief. What are some of the targets here?
Well, there are five different groups of borrowers who are kind of in mind here. And so I'll try to run through them briefly. But basically, all of this is going to affect probably about half of all student loan borrowers. So if you have a student loan, there's a good chance that this plan, if implemented, would affect you. So the five groups, you got one group of borrowers, the sort of most obvious one, the ones who have been repaying their loans for 20 to 25 years. That's a large group, about 2.5 million people there. But then you have this group of borrowers who owe more today than when they originally borrowed. And so their debt wouldn't be canceled, but the accumulated interest, sort of that has made their balloons, payments balloon and sort of run away, as the Biden administration says, they would have the interest forgiven. And so there's about 23 million people would benefit from that one. So those are the first two groups, 20 years or 25 years in repayment, and those who have their sort of runaway interest accumulating over the years. But there are three other groups here that I think are really interesting, and the Biden administration is going to provide more details about going forward. The first one, the third one here is borrowers who were in low-value programs that didn't pay off. And another group is borrowers who are facing financial hardship or are at risk of defaulting on their loans. And then the final group are borrowers who are eligible for existing programs, but just are not enrolled in them. And so the Department of Education is kind of taking different strategies to try to help all five of those groups of borrowers.
I want to dig into that low value concept a little more. These are people who maybe went to a college, often these I think were for-profit colleges, that then administration said, hey, these aren't really doing anything. These aren't legitimate schools. They end up being losing their eligibility for federal financial aid. And there have been some high-profile closures of some of these for-profit chains. Is that what we're talking about there?
That's exactly correct. And the Biden administration has been making a lot of efforts to improve the marketplace here, try to regulate these low-value programs. And they've been met with a lot of legal challenges over the years. And so it's really interesting to see how they're going to approach it this time around. But we'll get more details on what exactly counts as a low-value program when the Biden administration releases their specific details here.
Talking to Nick Hillman, higher education expert at UW-Madison, looking at the latest effort at student loan debt relief from the Biden administration. You just heard the basics there. What do you think? Are you in one of those categories that Nick just listed? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Mary Kay is with us in Kenosha. Mary Kay, hi.
Hi, I know two families that live with other people because they can't afford rent. They either have to pay, and some don't even have a car. One doesn't even have a car, but they have to go to work, two jobs. These are the kind of people that are homeless that should have their student loans waived.
Mary Kate, thanks for the call. And Nick, that sounds like people experiencing financial hardships. I'm quoting from one of those categories you just listed. We don't know the exact story of Mary Kay's acquaintances, but that seems to fit the bill.
It sure does. And I think what's really important to consider is that the amount of resources, the amount of money and time that the U.S. Department of Education spends on collecting loans from the, you know, story that we just heard from the caller, that amount of effort sometimes isn't really worth it. And the Biden administration is saying it's just easier to just cancel that debt. Oftentimes it's maybe $5,000 to $10,000 in student loan debt, which in the grand scheme of things might be worth it to just try to call it good and just let them go from their debts so they can move on with their lives.
Mary Kay, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. As we heard in that clip earlier from President Biden, Biden's making the argument that this is an economic issue. This is holding people back from participating in the economy in some ways, doing things like finding housing, making major purchases, things like that. Do we know what kind of impact these kinds of college loan debts can have on people?
That's a great question. And that's really the mystery here, because there are so many possible answers to that question. There's just not enough strong academic research to really say with a lot of confidence exactly what's going to happen. But I would say probably a couple different things. Yes, there would be a stimulative effect. There's some good evidence that when borrowers have had their loans forgiven, that that they've been able to save and their credit scores improve. I mean, those are kind of like mechanical things, like you would expect those to happen, and that's a good thing. But we also don't know nearly enough about the psychological kind of, challenges that having debt loom over you for years does have. And so there's probably a lot that we just don't know yet that we will certainly find out. But I do think that there are some economic benefits here, some economic potentially big impacts, but also think about the psychological ones and everything in between, I'm sure, is on the table. It's just really, really hard to know for certain, that it's the loans that are causing all of these negative issues.
Let's go back to our callers. Shane is with us in Madison. Shane, hi.
Hi. My partner and I both have student loan debt balances that are higher than they were originally, and so we've been paying them down over the years, and mostly those payments have gone towards the interest. If student loan debt interest is forgiven, do you know if there's any information as to whether previous payments towards the interest will be counted towards the principal, or if they're just kind of wasted, for lack of a better term?
Shane, thanks for the call. Nick, how retroactive, I guess, would this be?
I don't know that. In fact, I don't know that that's been talked about at all, really. I do know something, though, that might be helpful context and relevant. One thing is that the Biden administration aims to make these changes automatic. And so they say that, you know, borrowers don't need to apply or don't need to opt in. They'll just sort of automatically sort of readjust accordingly. What the Biden administration has done in the past, though, they've made some modifications to some of the rules that do retroactively count payments. So kind of like the way that the caller just described, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen in this situation, but there have been some instances where they have done some retroactive changes that sort of give you credits for things that you've done in the past. Now, whether that's going to be the case with this one, I don't know.
Shane, thanks a lot for that call. Nick Hillman is with us, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison School of Education, talking about the Biden administration's newest student debt relief plan, how it might affect some borrowers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or a family member been having difficulty repaying student loans? Has it affected your ability to afford a milestone, a car, house, having kids? Does it make you feel like the college degree wasn't worth it in the first place? Join in with your thoughts or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our conversation with Nick Hillman, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison's School of Education, looking at the Biden administration's newest student debt relief plan. President Biden announced it during a visit to Wisconsin on Monday. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Angie is with us in Racine. Angie, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share that my husband and I both had student loans for quite some time. I was fortunate when COVID happened to have the rest of my loans forgiven through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, but only after it was revamped. I wasn't eligible for in the initial 10-year forgiveness program. But my husband has been paying on, we've been paying on his loans for close to, I don't know, 15, 16 years. We have about 10 more years to go. And it has been a financial hardship for us and has limited what we can do for our family because of how long it's taken.
And Angie, can I ask what line of work are you in that made you eligible ultimately for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program?
So I've always worked for the state of Wisconsin. So I didn't have the right type of loan for the initial 10 years. Even though I applied for it and had been a public servant for 10 years. And then when COVID happened, they revamped the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, and that's how eventually my loans were forgiven.
Got it, Angie. Thanks a lot for the call. Nick, there was a lot of reporting, including from NPR, on a lot of people were close to eligible for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Programs that were out there. But there are lots of little fine prints and exceptions and things like that, as in Angie's case, that made them not eligible. How much has that changed, as she mentioned, with changes during COVID?
It's changed remarkably. The NPR investigation, as you mentioned, they were one of the first to show that the U.S. Department of Education was only approving about 1% of the applications that came through these public service loan forgiveness programs. And so the Biden administration has really made an effort to simplify the process and make the administration of it work better. So little things that you would think don't matter, but they're huge. They're really important bureaucratic hurdles, like getting your employer to certify that you are employed for the year for a public or nonprofit organization. The Biden administration has found ways to streamline that process for people so they could participate at higher rates. Angie mentioned that they didn't have the right type of loan. And I think that that is a really important piece of this too. If you have loans that qualify for these programs, then you're in. But if you don't, you can consolidate those loans in some cases to those eligible programs. And so if you go to studentaid.gov, they can give you more information, or if you talk to a servicer, they can tell you more about how to go about consolidating loans over into the direct loan programs that make you eligible for these benefits.
Thanks for that call. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, Rob. I have an opinion on this. I graduated from a university where I had debt, and I worked after graduation. I paid off my federal loans. In my opinion, the way things are now, we need people in the military. We need people in our national parks working and cleaning and maintaining those parks. There are ways that people could work off their debt by being a federal employee or, you know, volunteering with AmeriCorps or something like that. I think whatever debt they have, they should work to pay it off.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Nick, do we, I mean, some of those public service loans are along those lines. Are there other things or other proposals to do what Jeff's talking about?
Well, I think the public service loan forgiveness is the main one. There are, in addition to these federal programs, there are, you know, state programs, or sometimes individual colleges have programs that kind of are tailored for special services or public services, even beyond what the federal programs are for. So you see kind of a variety of options out there. But I think the caller is onto something. I mean, there is definitely, you know, these design features to these programs. Like, why do we have it be 10 years of service? Why isn't it 5 years of service? And why isn't it, you know, this particular income threshold that's eligible, or that particular income threshold? So these things are always negotiated politically. And there are design features of these programs that can really, you know, change over time. And so I think that that's what I hear in the caller's question, too.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Barry is with us now in Madison. Barry, hello.
Hello, good afternoon. With all of the students in Wisconsin and across the country that are buried in debt, we don't have a long-term for the kids that are going into debt now as students. If you turn the clock back to the early 2000, about 2005, 2010, the state of Wisconsin and most states were really pumping a lot of money into university education. And I believe it was about 2010 that there were hundreds of millions of dollars cut for the university's budget.
Barry, gotcha. Thanks for the call. Your call's breaking up a little bit there. But Nick, it takes us to the question of why is college costing so much? Barry pointing toward a cut in state and in some cases, I think, federal funding for higher education. What's been going on?
Definitely, this is all connected to those public funding trends. But one way I think about this is we have two different problems that I think policymakers are trying to wrestle with. And this image might not—it's not really the best image—but think about, you know, falling into a river and then sort of struggling to get out of that river. And so sometimes we want to prevent people from falling in the first place. And that's where I think the caller's points are coming in. Like, let's keep funding for our public education systems high so that we can prevent people from borrowing in the first place. And then the other side of the coin here, the other side of the stream, I suppose, is that once somebody is in the stream and they're sort of struggling to get out, what are those life rafts and what are the ways that we can try to get people out of the problems that they're potentially in? And so definitely it's a complex problem to solve that you have to take multiple angles, and public subsidies is one of them.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Nick Hillman from the UW School of Education, UW-Madison, looking at the latest proposal from the Biden administration offering some measures of student debt relief, more targeted than some of the past efforts. Back to your calls. Shaylin is with us in Buffalo City. Shaylin, hi.
Hey, so I hear this is doing a lot of great things for borrowers from the past, but what is this going to do for future borrowers? What do our children have to look forward to out of this bill?
Shaylin, thanks for the call. Great question, Nick. My understanding is not much out of this particular measure.
I think that's probably true. I think that there are definitely borrowers like the ones who, you know, have been in repayment for 20 to 25 years. That's kind of not who you're talking about. But there are some fixes here that I think could potentially help borrowers in the future. It might not reduce overall borrowing, but they do set up a framework to help make the systems work a little bit better for borrowers and for some degree of relief for borrowers. And in addition to the five groups that we've been talking about, the Biden administration has also implemented this SAVE program. And Rob, you mentioned it early on the call, but it kind of sets up a new framework for how loan repayment works. And as long as people opt in and sort of participate in the SAVE program, there could be potential benefits for incoming students and students long into the future.
Yeah, thanks for that call. I was hoping to bring that up. Can you talk a little more about that SAVE program? We've mentioned in the past, in past discussions, what should people be looking at if they're going into college or there now?
I think there are probably two pieces to this one. So one of them is that if you have federal loans that qualify, these direct loans, you'll have the possibility to have a degree of your debt forgiven for each additional year that you are in repayment. So after 10 years, they'll cancel a certain portion of your debt. I believe it is up to $12,000. If you're in repayment for 11 years, it'll be like $13,000. There's sort of like a tiered system here that this new SAVE program is designed to sort of help with earlier relief. But the other part to the SAVE program that I think is pretty interesting is that it's designed to prevent that runaway interest that we were talking about earlier, the ballooning interest that happens with a lot of these programs. And these programs are designed to be sort of upside down in this way. And so the SAVE program is designed to not do that. It's designed to keep interest rates down. It's designed for payments to not balloon over time.
And Nick, in our last minute or so, when could these new proposals go into effect and eligible people start to see a change?
The short answer is this fall, potentially. And the longer answer is that there are still a couple of steps that the U.S. Department of Education has to go through. They have to formally announce what the plans are. They have to then allow some period of time for public comment. And then the Biden administration, the Department of Education, can implement those rules. So that's going to take a few months.
And then, of course, the risk of court challenges. Again, we're not lawyers. Do you think this might have a better chance of passing muster than ones that have been struck down in the past?
I do, for just a general naive optimism. But also, I do think that the strategy here and the more tailored efforts are probably going to make it more challenging to have people claim that they are harmed by these programs.
Nick, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Take care.
That's Nick Hillman, professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison School of Education, also director of the Student Success through Applied Research Lab. We talked to him today about the Biden administration's newly announced student debt relief plan and how it might affect borrowers. You can keep sharing your stories about the impact of student loan debt in your life. And maybe your questions that we can tackle, hand over to our news department, maybe to investigate a little more. You can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. And thanks for all your calls today.